Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Raising Saints, an AM 820 production designed for parents who desire to raise the saints in their life. And now, Raising Saints with Katie Wyatt.
Hello and welcome to Raising Saints, the show for Catholic parents. I'm your host, Katie Wyatt, and you're listening to AM 820, St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. Here on Raising Saints, we talk to teenagers about the topics that matter most. And we invite you, parents, to listen in on our conversations. We hope and pray that in joining us, you'll gain insight, wisdom, and courage to have these conversations with your own kids. Today on our program, we have sort of a broad topic to cover. Stated simply, we're talking about words. So much power in our words, and we can use that power to lift people up or to tear people down. We can use words to glorify God or to reject God. And also the words we use can define who we are. So here to talk to us today about language and words and how we speak and how we choose carefully what we say are three return panelists, expert panelists, you might say. Why don't you tell us who you are and where you go to church?
I'm Eric, and I go to St. John Newman.
I'm Caitlin, and I also go to St. John Newman.
I'm Sam, and I go to the Church of the Resurrection in New Albany.
Okay. So this is actually a really timely topic because the Pope's Angelus address this week was about gossip. And gossip is certainly one of the ways in which we use words inappropriately. We'll talk about several different ways on today's program, but let's start with gossip. So let me quote from the February 16th Angelus. This is Pope Francis speaking. I love the way he speaks. It's so rotten, gossip. At the beginning, it seems to be something enjoyable and fun, like a piece of candy. But at the end, it fills the heart with bitterness and also poisons us. I tell you the truth, I am convinced that if each one of us would purposely avoid gossip, at the end, we would become a saint. It's a beautiful path. So what is your experience with gossip? I guess what I mean by that is, why do people do it? Why is it so hard to avoid? Why is it so necessary to avoid? Let's gossip about gossip.
Okay.
Gossip is so fat.
Fat? P-H-A-T?
Yeah, sure, whatever.
Okay. All right, let's talk about gossip.
Okay, I'm not big about spreading gossip. So sometimes I'm a victim of gossip, which isn't very fun considering I'm not even a condoler of gossip? Is that a word?
Condoner of gossip?
Yeah, condoner of gossip.
Yeah?
I'm not a condoner of gossip, so I don't think it's fair that I get to be the victim of gossip at times, but that's my experience with gossip a lot.
Okay.
Most of the time it's lies, like, of just about anyone. Like, in general, gossip is lies, so I don't think you need to spread stuff if you don't have valid proof that it's true.
What if you do have valid proof that it's true? Do you need to spread it?
No, because it's not really your business, so I don't know why you need to let
it's not your business, and then it also kind of strays away from gossip and just turns into, like,
slander.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Caitlin or Eric? Why is gossip hard to avoid?
I would say yes, because sometimes you don't even, like, not, like, the like, not necessarily, like the really bad gossip, but sometimes, like, you don't realize that you're, like, even, like, doing it. Like you're just telling us, like, you'll hear something from someone and they'll, like, go tell your friend, like, oh my gosh, guess what I heard? And then you, like, don't even realize that you're, like, gossiping about someone else.
You feel like you're just sort of passing along information.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like it's something that you just kind of, like, happens and, like, you have to, like, I don't know, like, look for when it's happening and make sure that, like, you're being conscious of what you're saying. So it's something that you actually have to think about. It's not just something that think about avoiding. It's easier to fall into it than it is to avoid it.
Okay.
Because it's so common.
What constitutes gossip? So Caitlin, you gave the example of if your friend tells you something and you go and say, oh my gosh, guess what I just heard? Like, are there things that it's okay to say, oh my gosh, guess what I just heard about other people? Or
I don't know.
My gosh, I just heard that Pope Benedict retired. That's okay.
So that's just news, right? Yeah, there's a difference.
Yeah.
Okay.
I heard there's going to be tater tots for lunch.
But that's not really talking about someone.
Or, okay, like, I don't know. I feel like
if it's positive, it's definitely... Well, if it's positive, it's definitely okay.
Okay.
Well, it depends on your... I mean, like, some people might not take it positively. I don't really know where I'm going with that, but it's like somebody could take it negatively.
We would need an example.
Okay, let's say it's like, oh, did you hear that John and Beth are dating now? And then you tell that to, like, Sally, and Sally's like, oh, I like John. That's bad.
Yeah.
I see where you're going with that.
All right.
That
makes sense. I'll give you
that.
But
still, is that gossip or is that just news?
I guess that's news.
How do you guys determine whether or not a conversation you're involved in is a gossipy conversation?
I would say if you're like having, if it's more like rude based, maybe, like, or if it's something that could be like taken like negatively towards someone, like if we're talking about someone that someone may have done or something like that, then I feel like that's more of like a gossip thing than just saying, hey, guess what, these two people are dating. I feel like that's not as much of like a negative sense.
I feel like if it like would hurt their reputation or affect really their reputation, it's more gossip. And if it doesn't, then it's basically just like news.
Or not even the reputation, just like hurt them, like them, like just hurt them, like as a person, like
yeah.
I think gossip usually doesn't have a very valid source.
Very true.
Also, your intention in sharing the information has a lot. It defines whether or not what you're doing is gossiping, I would think.
Yeah.
Do you know people who don't engage in gossip? Like when you're around them, you just... Conversation is not gossipy. It's just pleasant. It's...
A lot of my friends aren't very gossipy just because they're quiet people, keep to a small circle of friends, and don't butt in on other people's business.
Yeah. Or we just don't really talk about other people because we just... don't really care what they're doing. If it's not affecting us, then like we don't just do what you want.
Wow, you guys are different than most teenagers.
That's why we're here, Katie.
I guess so.
Do you think most teenagers would be here? Is that what you're saying?
I know a lot of teenagers. Wow, if I say that, is that gossipy?
Is it news?
Is it news or is it?
It's point of reference.
No, you could have hurt someone's feelings by saying you know a lot of teenagers that aren't like us, so that was gossip.
How many of those teenagers are going to be listening to this radio show?
That's fair.
I think gossip is something that people very easily get caught up in.
It's the easiest sin to like just get wrapped in. I think that's just like the easiest sin that anyone could get into.
I feel like it's just so simple. It's like... And it's so, like, especially for high schoolers, it's so common that, like, any conversation, unless you're being very mindful of what you're saying, it's going to involve gossip. Because it's always, what happened here? Mm-hmm. What did he do? What did she do? You know,
kind
all that.
Kind of social updates and whatnot. So, okay, so the three of you don't really engage in gossip, which I think is so wonderful. So I'm wondering, why not? Like, did your parents set that example for you? Is it just your personality?
I think it's probably both.
Yeah.
What's the difference between gossiping and venting?
Oh.
Like sometimes my kids will come to me and they just really need to vent about a teacher or about someone who isn't very nice or someone. And I'm always trying to figure out, okay, do I need to tell them to stop? Or do I need to just listen to them and let them... vent?
I tend to vent sometimes. But I mean, if I vent to someone, it's not someone... It's like more someone that I would like... I look up to. I'm more like... I vent to like a specific teacher of mine, and I vent to like some people from church, like core members. And I don't... I just vent about how it's making me feel, and I don't really say like what the person's... Like I'll say what they're doing, but like how it's affecting me. I don't really... talk bad about them. I just say like how I'm feeling and like how it's like just really frustrating me.
So you don't share, I guess you cross the line between venting and gossip when you're sharing the information and
just to share it.
And sort of maliciously.
And then, and when you begin to like be more like kept talking like down to them, be a little more condescending, or like talk negatively about the person that's like you're venting about.
Okay. Okay, let's move from gossiping to another way in which we use language inappropriately, and that would be swearing.
Oh.
Sam's perking up. Oh. What, Sam?
What I make up for in gossip, I lose in swearing.
Oh, really? Okay. Is it habitual or just a response or?
It just happens, I guess. I don't know.
Are you around a lot of people who swear?
My parents don't, mm-hmm. like, at all, unless they are in pain or something.
But, slips.
I mean, we're high schoolers, you know, they slip out and kind of brush it off nonchalantly, so.
You know, it's funny you say that because I was just at a retreat with a priest who was talking about how he just doesn't swear. It's not in his vocabulary, it's not, and he thinks the reason is he has never been around people who swear. His parents didn't swear, and nobody at school, I can't even imagine how this could be true, but nobody at his school.
If only.
If that happened, that would make such a big difference. Like, because swearing is something that's really easy to fall into.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's so common. It's like gossip. It's just, it's one of those things that's common and it's all over the place.
Yeah, I don't swear. I said one swear word. It was my freshman year and I started crying. And
oh my gosh, that is so awesome. Why is swearing wrong? Like, aren't words just words? Aren't they just words? Or
I think when a word is frowned upon to the point that it's like blasphemy to say it, that when you really need to just relieve yourself and just like express your anger, it's just an easy way to do that is to say something like a swear word that will get your point across, in a sense.
But what makes a word a bad word? Like, why are there certain words that are not acceptable to say, or not holy, or not, that don't glorify God? I mean, aren't words just words?
Well, some of them have been taken, they've just been changed, and they're more like of an offensive word. And, like, I don't know if that makes sense, but, like, they're just, if you say that word, then most people, like, some people, like, high schoolers, I guess, will think it's okay, but, like, some people will think it's, like, really offensive to say that.
Not like high schoolers think it's okay. I think they just do it.
It's just part of the language. But they might not say it in front of their grandma.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Go ahead, Eric. Go ahead.
I feel like it's something that's just kind of been, like, adapted by our society, you know, through time, which isn't necessarily a good thing. And it's definitely not something that, you know, it's not the meanings of the words. It's just what they've been adapted by.
What they represent,
right.
Or what they... here are a couple of scripture passages that answer this question very clearly. The question was, why is it wrong? Aren't words just words? But listen to Matthew 12:36. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will render an account for every careless word they speak.
Oh, boy.
Can you imagine how long that will take to render an account for every careless word? Maybe that's what purgatory is. People just for a really long time.
Caitlin won't be in purgatory for long.
No, Caitlin wouldn't. She only swore once.
Sam will be.
Right? Okay, and then here's Colossians 3:8. But now you must put them all away. Anger, fury, malice, slander, and obscene language out of your mouths. And those are only two of many scripture references that talk about words and how we speak and how we present ourselves. And I think there's gray area in this in regard to swearing and in regard to language, because to some people, a word that is offensive is not at all offensive to another person. A lot of that, I think, depends on families. Like, you know, whatever language is used in your home is the language that you sort of learn and the language that is acceptable to learn. So the question is, for Christians, where do we draw the line? Like, is there a litmus test for whether or not a word is offensive to God? Is there a test you guys use, or you just were not raised obviously with foul language in your families? So
it's a hard question.
Mm-hmm. I have an answer.
Well, please enlighten us, Katie.
Please.
Please.
I picture Mary saying whatever word it is that I'm wondering about.
That's so true.
Because sometimes, like, I can picture Jesus sometimes ranting, not using foul language, but, you know, like when he turned over the tables in the temple, and I mean, he was mad. Like, he had to use words that expressed his anger. But then I picture Mary doing the same thing, and I'm like, no. No, that word isn't going to fly, because Mary wouldn't use that word. So that's not, like, official church doctrine or anything. That's just my opinion.
We should make it church doctrine. That's pretty great.
WWMS.
What would Mary say? What would Mary say?
Can we get like those bracelets, yeah, like the WWJD bracelets? Like,
what? Why do people swear?
It releases anger. It's, you know, it's a good release.
Add emphasis, or
sort of takes your message to the next level. Yeah. Just in case you don't understand what I'm. Yeah, habit. Also, I find people really get in the habit of bad language. Example. Like the example that was set for them in their homes or by their peers or by their older, I think older siblings have a lot of influence over younger siblings. How should parents, okay, I don't know if you guys will be able to answer this, but how should parents react or how should parents discipline their kids when they hear their kids swear?
I mean, they can tell them not to, I guess, but I mean, you're right. It's a hard question to answer.
I mean, when my kids were little, they got their mouths washed out with soap. Not that my kids were swearing when they were little, but, you know, when they said something that they knew they shouldn't say, they got their mouths washed out with soap.
Okay.
Just wash your mouths out with soap then. Like, what's...
But then, my daughter probably wouldn't want me to tell this story, but I'm going to tell it. When she was learning to drive, she's driving, and a swear word just flew right out of her mouth. And I was like... I can't believe you just said that. But then I just, like, turned it into kind of a joke. Because she was already frustrated. She was already stressed out. She felt really bad. She's like, I don't know where it came from. Like, she didn't want me to think that that's the habit she was in. And I just, she just happened to slip in front of me. So, I don't know. I guess it depends on your kid. Like, if your kid is habitually swearing, that's a different, you have to have a different response than if your kid just slips.
But I feel like in general you also need to be careful about how you respond to that, because there are some times when you want, when people swear like almost as an, well, do things as an act of rebellion. And so if you're disciplining your children because they swear, it could encourage them to swear even more, like to rebel against what you want, if that makes sense.
It absolutely makes sense. Yep. And I think the best way to teach our kids not to swear is to not swear. You know, give them that example.
Learn from example.
Or in what they watch on TV and what, you know, what movies they see and what, you know, like...
What music they listen to.
What music they listen to. That's a huge one. Yeah, Sam. So that's a tough one. That's a tough one because it's kind of like going against the stream. Because like you were saying, Sam, it's just kind of part of the culture, bad language. Let's move on from swearing. Let's talk about another kind of language that we use inappropriately, which sort of goes along with gossip, but it's more slander or malice or mean words in general, like saying mean things to people. You know, that expression, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me.
Lies.
Yes. Biggest Who coined lie. That phrase?
That is the biggest lie.
Names are so hurtful. Words are so hurtful. You know, sometimes physical wounds will heal better than
an emotional wound.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Wounds that come on because of someone's verbal assault or verbal meanness. What are the issues you guys see in your generation, in your culture, with malice and slander and general meanness? Is this a thing?
Yeah. I don't, like, how to, like, I mean, if you, like, say something mean, if you, like, say the wrong thing to someone, like, they can really, like, affect them, and, I mean, you don't even think that you're gonna be rude to them, but, I mean, it doesn't have to, and it, but it's not even, like, saying just something, like, directly, like, mean to someone, or, like, well, or not, like, saying something, like, that's meant to be mean, but then, like, if you don't choose your words carefully, then it can just offend someone, like, unintentionally.
So there's that side of it, but what about intentional meanness?
Well, then that's just worse.
But, I mean, what are the issues that you guys deal with in your generation, in your culture, in teen culture?
I think like a defined system at school can lead to slander against certain cliques, perhaps.
What do you mean a defined system?
Like clear divisions of guys who play sports, people who are on like quiz team or something, people who are on the bowling team, people who play basketball, you know.
So I mean, stereotypes.
Exactly.
And do people just gossip about people in those other groups, or do people actually say things that are mean to other people?
I think people say things. It's not as like extreme as it is in TV shows per se, where people are getting shoved into lockers and stuff, but but it happens for sure. I think, at least.
Because I mean, you hear so much in the media about bullying, you know, and about the extremes that people push other people to. And we've talked about this before, but social media is such a great opportunity for bullying because you don't have to be courageous about it. You know, you can just post something and not have to
look at the person. Like, look at who.
Yeah. Yeah. So. But I don't know. I don't get the sense that any of you is too worried about the mean thing. Is it really not something you see in your lives or in your schools or in your groups? Or
not so much.
Not so much. That's good to know.
Gossip and foul language is definitely present, though.
Okay, so those are stronger, more present. Gossip and foul language are definitely more present than just flat out bullying or people being mean or people saying hurtful things. Or
yeah. That's what I find to be true, at least.
But then also, saying the mean things could result from what you heard from gossip, and they could also use the swear words within your mean saying, so I guess they get all intertwined together.
You could put it all into one. Yeah,
it's like a triforce of sin.
Any other ways that we misuse our words that we haven't talked about? We've talked about gossip. We've talked about bad language or swearing or cursing, and we've talked about slander or malice or mean words, unkind words. Are there any other ways that you guys have thought of that are ways in just which we misuse language when we misuse our words? Just want to make sure I'm not missing anything.
Perhaps lying.
Oh, lying's a good one.
I guess you could encompass gossip into lying, maybe, but.
Well, although they could be mutually exclusive too, I mean, you can be gossiping and saying something that's absolutely true.
Yeah. Or you could gossip and say something that's absolutely a lie.
Right. But you can also lie about a lot of other things, too.
Or sometimes even when you're unintentionally lying. Like if you're giving false information that you thought was true, but, you know, that's not necessarily your fault. It could be your fault for not checking sources or something, but
it depends on what you're saying.
Exactly.
Yeah. But lying to your parents, lying, like cheating on a test, that's lying. Mm-hmm. Lying. I don't know. What are other ways that you think lying really affects your generation or your culture?
Going behind somebody's back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's definitely a big one.
Yeah.
Well, there's a song called Words that Caitlin pointed out to us before we started taping today. And who's it by again, Caitlin?
Hawk Nelson.
Hawk Nelson. So we're going to conclude with a prayer. But then we're going to kind of fade out with the song. It's very appropriate to what we've been talking about. So in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, we love you and we praise you. We thank you for your word in scripture, and for the words you've given us. Help our words to always be loving, to always be kind, to always glorify you. Help us to always think about what we're saying and think about who we are as sons and daughters of you, Lord. And we ask all of this in your name, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. You've been listening to Raising Saints on AM 820. I'm Katie Wyatt. And parents, until next time, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Bye now.
Raising Saints is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of Raising Saints with Katie Wyatt are available at stgabrielradio.com. Sancti Spiritus Veni Penaria. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit
Many support a woman's right to choose, but sadly, few know the consequences of those choices. The Catholic Medical Association supports your right to know. Women who have had an abortion are at higher risk for complications in future pregnancies, especially premature birth and low birth weight of their children. This puts their babies at risk for breathing problems, feeding problems, infections, heart problems, anemia, and eye problems. To find out more, visit cathmed.org.
This is a Young Catholic Minute.
Why do I have to follow so many rules?
Last week, I made some cookies. Shut up, guys can make cookies if we want. Anyway, I didn't want to follow that oppressive, rule-oriented recipe anymore. So instead of a cup of sugar, I substituted a cup of arsenic. The cookies were pretty terrible, but they illustrate a very good point. When we ask why we have to follow rules, we're really asking if we can trust God. If God is a tyrant who uses rules to oppress us and ruin our lives, then yeah, why would we want to follow those rules? But is he giving us rules to prevent us from being happy? Or is he giving us the perfect recipe for happiness? When we understand that God wants us to have life and have it to the full, we can start living like he wants us to. And we won't need rules anymore. For more, go to youtube.com/youngcatholic.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. 15-year-old Shalice Reese uses a wheelchair to get around because she has cerebral palsy, a neurological condition that impairs muscle control. But that hasn't stopped her from pursuing her dream of becoming a dancer. Reese entered dance team tryouts at her Dubuque, Iowa high school in her motorized wheelchair. Reporter Stacy Becker wrote that skeptics were won over as Shalice moved her arms and spun her chair around, dancing in sync with the music. It was an unconventional routine, but one she performed to near perfection. She won a spot on the dance squad and has even performed in competition. Shalice Reese may be unconventional, but sometimes that's what you've got to be to achieve your goals. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.